How do you do? Have you ever heard something repeatedly but didn't understand the underlying significance? For years, the man in this story heard certain words and expressions and thought he knew the meaning, until one day, insight burst through the fog of misconception. It was not by might nor by power, but through an extraordinary person that his heart, mind, and life were unshackled.
Sure glad you could go with me today, Cora.
I've never been to the Springfield Fair, Mitchell, and I'd rather go with you than anybody I know.
That's a nice compliment.
It's true. I wouldn't lie to you.
You like my car?
I do.
I can afford the gas since I dropped out of school to work.
You dropped out?
Well, I didn't drop out. I jumped out.
You're funny, Mitchell.
Never did like school. When I was in the first grade, I took my new book home and finished it all in one night. It was supposed to last a whole year, so the teacher spanked me for that.
Well, you should have been put in a higher grade. Did you disrupt the class?
Never. I spent my time drawing horses or watching kids who clowned around.
Well, I like school, especially math.
My seventh grade teacher asked me what I'd like to be when I grow up. I still don't know.
Mitchell, look out!
Proclaiming the way, the truth, and the life. This is Unshackled. True life stories of real people. Dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Homeless people discover that the world is duplicitous. Things that seemed alluring and real betray their nature as they vanish. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming hundreds of men, women, and children who need solid ground. Pastors and counselors at the Old Lighthouse help them recognize the world's illusions and bring them into the light where they can stand on the rock, on which is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3207 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Thanks for getting me home, Mitchell.
I'm sorry about the accident.
It wasn't your fault. That car pulled out in front of you.
Didn't have its lights on, neither.
Couldn't have. I'd have noticed.
I can't believe I got a ticket and I'm losing my license for a year. Nobody was even hurt.
I don't see why the deputy blamed you for the accident.
Most likely because I didn't have insurance.
Guess you won't be able to pick me up for church now.
Oh, yes, I will. I'm going to go wherever I want.
The man in our story was 16 then. Vehicles and accidents would figure prominently in his life. But his transformation was no accident. This is the true testimony of Mitchell Boggs and how he was unshackled.
I was the youngest of 11 children. Six girls and five boys, born in Aurora, Missouri, but we lived in the Sarcoxy area most of my life. Dad worked for the road district, farmed and grew strawberries for a living. Mom took care of the family. She prayed and read her Bible at set times during the day. When I was 9 years old, we started going to a different church where I first met Cora, and we were friends from then on. When I was 14, I overheard my sisters talking.
Mom is really sick, Lorene. The doctor said she doesn't have long to live. I think we should tell the rest of the family. Otherwise, it'll be a shock when she's suddenly gone.
I went out to the shed and cried. Early one morning, Dad hollered for me and my older sister to come quick, and we raced downstairs. Mom's hand was pointing up toward heaven and moving in a wave. I just knew she was praying for us as she died. 3 months after Mom's death, I was supposed to be raking hay in a field across from our house when I had so much pain, I crawled under the fence and I went out to the shed and cried. Early one morning, Dad hollered for me and my older sister to come quick, and we raced downstairs. Mom's hand was pointing up toward heaven and moving in a wave. I just knew she was praying for us as she died. 3 months after Mom's death, I was supposed to be raking hay in a field across from our house when I had so much pain, I crawled under the fence in the hayfield and lay down, losing my senses.
Mitchell, what ails you laying out here like this?
Pain. It hurts real bad.
Well, can you get up at all?
I'll try.
Well, better get you to the doctor. Might be appendicitis.
This is a very rare condition, Mr. Boggs. Your son, Mitchell, has 3 kidneys.
3?
A double one on the right side and a single one on the left.
No wonder he's had pain.
Can you do something about it?
We'll remove the single one, which has never functioned, and leave him with a double kidney, which is not normal, but that's the best we can do.
Since I was only 15, they'd put me in the children's ward for a week, where some of the little ones had no family to reassure them. I wondered about those children, if they'd ever get well. Where would they go if they died? To get away from their cries and screaming, I explored the hospital when I wasn't having kidney pain. Then came the operation with excruciating pain.
How you doing, son?
Torture. Death. The pain is torture.
Well, you ought to be easing up, son. Been 3 days now.
I hope nobody else has to go through this kind of suffering. Is this what dying is like?
We've been here all the time, Mitchell. All of us. Even Aunt Grace is here.
I appreciate it. Some of these kids have nobody.
I noticed. It's sad.
What day is this?
Sunday.
I wish Mom was here. I need her prayers.
You're going to be fine now, son. Before you know it, you'll be back home.
A few weeks after I came home from the hospital, I helped Dad bale hay and even cut wood. I turned 16 and went back to the prayer meeting that Mom and Dad attended before she died. That's when I asked Cora to go to the Springfield Fair, and on the way we collided with another car. Even though I lost my license, I drove everywhere that year. One day, I was on my way to get Cora for church when I met Dad going the other way.
Where you going, Mitchell?
Gonna get Cora and go to church.
Now, can you drive back home with me and get your sister? I can't take her to church today.
I'm already late, Dad. But sure, I'll go. I made a U-turn and headed back home, dust billowing behind me. For the next mile, I didn't see or hear the police car that pursued me. There had been a robbery the night before, and the deputy thought I was the perpetrator. When I pulled up at home, he pulled up behind me.
Step away from that car with your hands in the air.
What's going on?
Stop talking. Put your hands on the car so I can search you.
But I haven't done anything. I didn't see you because of the dust. I didn't hear the siren, either.
I told you to hush.
All right, but I'll be late for church.
Mitchell, what's going on?
You live here?
Yes.
Mitchell?
I was on the way to get Cora when my dad asked me to come back here to pick up my sister.
Who's Cora?
My girlfriend. See, that's her picture in the back seat.
Restaurant was robbed last night. I thought you were the robber trying to get away.
I'm innocent. I was on my way to church.
You were speeding, and I'm going to write you a ticket.
I was proud of my car, proud that I was on my own. And I was especially proud when Cora agreed to marry me. When we married on July 3rd, 1970, I was 18 years old, and my only possession was my car and $50 in my pocket. A few days after our wedding, I needed some surgery. But our first year of marriage was smooth. Next summer, however, a friend and I were hauling a load of chicken feed when the front spring on my truck broke. The feed shifted and my truck lurched out of control. My truck rolled over, skidded on the pavement, and landed on a car with five passengers. My friend and I were okay, but the people in the other car were hurt. One little boy was running down the road senselessly, not knowing where he was going. One person's head was sticking out the windshield. What if they were dead? Frantic, I ran to the nearest neighbor to call for an ambulance.
In just a moment, we'll hear the rest of this story. Whatever the reason for coming to Pacific Garden Mission, and there are many, the women's division is there for women alone or women with children. Some come out of abusive homes. Many have lost their way long ago. Women who come out of deplorable situations turn their lives around. Instead of trusting in their own wiles, the women's division teaches them biblical principles, the power of prayer, and the importance of trusting in the Lord. Some enroll in the Bible program and stay a year as they prepare to go into the workforce, better equipped to share the truth with others. To learn more about this ministry to women, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
If I hadn't been at work, I'd have been with you.
You might have been hurt, Cora. It's bad enough the ones that were hurt.
Thank God that no one died, Mitchell.
If they had, I'd never forgive myself, Cora.
You can't help it if parts fail on trucks.
What if I had died? Where would I spend eternity?
You believe in God, don't you?
Yes, of course. When I was little, I had a friend that didn't believe, even though he went to church every Sunday. I told him I knew the things I heard in church were true, but I don't know what those people in the car believe. Maybe they are lost.
Well, I'm just glad you weren't hurt.
My concerns were magnified when our first little boy was born. Where would he spend eternity? I had gone to church all my life. I knew all the Bible stories. I believed in God. But the Bible warns in the book of James, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." If believing in God wasn't enough, how could I be sure of heaven? When our son was 6 months old, we took him to the old church my family attended when I was young.
We serve an awesome God. The Bible says he hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God? That, my friend, is the whole point of life. Speaking again through the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, my friend, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ died for your sins, but you must repent of your sins and ask him to save you, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are not many here tonight, but I vowed to God as a young pastor that I would never end a service without giving an invitation to receive Christ. Because one night, a couple that I didn't know came to church, and they were killed in an accident on the way home. Do you know where you will spend eternity? The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Only God can promise you eternal life, my friend, and only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Mom's prayers were answered as my heart tugged with what my folks call conviction, and I fell on my knees and wept. At last, I recognized my sinful condition, and the more I wept, the more my burden was lifted. Dear God, I am a terrible sinner. I do repent of my sins against you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood and died for my sin and rose again. I ask you, Lord, to come into my life and be my personal Savior. From this day forward, I want to trust you with all my heart, and I want to live for you.
Cora professed faith in the Lord that night too, and after church we went to my sister's house and told them about our salvation. We kept going to that fellowship each Sunday.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 exhort us this way, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that has a testimony? Yes, Brother Mitchell.
I am grateful for godly parents who taught me the way of salvation. And I thank God that he brought conviction so that I could be saved. Without God's word, where would I be?
The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
We moved to Exeter, Missouri, where Cora taught math in high school. I did logging and construction. Neither of us had been raised with television, but I fixed up an old TV set and we watched for a few months. What we saw on TV disgusted us. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. We decided not to let our children view TV at home, and I disassembled the set one day and put our son's picture there instead. A year later came news of 4 deaths in the family, and then another one.
What? Your brother Marion was killed at work? What happened, Mitchell?
He saw one of the workers in danger and ran to help. Marion was electrocuted instead.
Oh, I'm so sorry, honey.
It's so hard to lose someone you love.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Yes, and that's what he did.
Oh, your poor family. 5 deaths in 6 months.
The wind of change is blowing through the Box family.
You know, maybe we should move back home.
Maybe we should. Let's ask the Lord to help us decide. We moved back to the Sarcoxy area, and more sons and daughters were born to us. By the time they reached school age, we reached a decision, but that decision didn't come easily.
Why do you look so sad, Mitchell?
I just saw a school bus go past the house, and I hate to think our kids will be leaving each day.
Yeah, you just get to know your kids, and boom, they're gone.
You're a teacher, Cora. Why couldn't you teach them at home?
I've thought about that, but I don't know, honey. Is it allowed?
It ought to be. It's a parent's right to teach their kids. If my parents had known what goes on at school, they would have kept me at home.
That's true. Schools don't allow prayer or even Bibles now.
I heard about a lawyer in town that teaches his kids at home. Maybe I'll go and ask him about it. We talked with the lawyer's wife, who said, just do it. The superintendent of schools happened to be our neighbor, so I told him what we were planning to do. He agreed that teaching your own family is a God-given privilege, but someone turned us in. And a few days later, Family Services called to say they were sending an investigator. Cora was indignant, but I told her to trust in the Lord. The man who came was very young.
Do you have experience teaching young children?
I'm a mother, and I've taught Sunday school for years.
How many children do you have?
4 right now. Hopefully God will give us more.
Will you have time to set aside regular hours for teaching?
Of course.
What will you do if there's a family crisis?
Deal with it. Now, let me ask you some questions.
Okay.
Are you married?
No.
Do you have any children?
No.
You mean to tell us that you have no children and Family Services sent you out here to tell us how to raise our kids?
Well, I'm specially trained.
So are we, by the Lord.
God says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
We began homeschooling our children. Summers were always busy baling hay. We helped our neighbors, and they helped us bale before rain came. One day, my 7th grade teacher came by and asked if I would bale for him. When baling became less lucrative, we began building barns, starting with a neighbor. One day, Cora went along with me to estimate a job and had lemonade with the farmer's wife.
My mother died of cancer.
I'm sorry to hear that.
If I ever get cancer, I'll end my life.
Don't say that.
I would.
There is a heaven and a hell. The Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Are you really ready to face God's judgment?
Is anybody?
Yes. Anybody who repents of their sins and believes that Jesus Christ died for their sins is ready.
Well, I've tried to live a good life.
Being good isn't enough. You have to be perfect.
Nobody can be perfect.
Jesus lived a perfect life, and he's willing to trade his perfection for your sins.
I never heard of that before.
It's true. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
For 15 years, we talked to our friend about Jesus, and she began to change. She professed faith in Christ, and before she died, she asked me to say a few words at her funeral. In 1991, my father, who had been my hero, died of a heart attack just before our youngest son was born. A year later, our faith was tested when our 10-year-old daughter was on her horse, and the horse reared up and came back over on her. We rushed her to the hospital.
How's she doing, Mitchell?
We don't know yet, Pastor. First, the doctor ordered a brain test, and we prayed. Then he put the brain test on hold. He doesn't think she needs it.
Well, keep praying.
She might need an operation.
She's in the Lord's hands. Trust him.
People are coming in to donate her blood type for an operation.
I keep wondering why this happened.
God allows trials for us just so we can pray more.
And be his witnesses.
And learn to trust him because he's in control. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Our daughter lay in ICU for 10 days, but she needed only a minor bladder operation. Barn building continued, and life was good. Then in 2003, our crew was attaching a shed to a hay barn when a welder's spark set the hay on fire.
Dusty, get the tractor. Go through the fence. Lance, get some water. Tech, call 911.
The hay exploded, could have killed people.
Where were you, Mitchell?
Down the road, estimating another job. I got there in minutes on my motorcycle, but it was too late to save the barn.
Everything's gone?
He lost the barn, and we lost a new tractor and a new telehandler. But no one was hurt.
Thank God for that.
A few minutes before the fire, the workers had been eating lunch in the barn. Others had walked off to go fishing. God was so merciful.
What are we going to do? There's no way out of this one.
There's a verse in Isaiah that says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." By God's grace, insurance covered the farmer's losses. A few years later came another blow. I was delivering a load of metal when I had another wreck. I was in the middle of an intersection before I knew it when a car collided with me. I kept the truck under control and I wasn't hurt, but a passenger in the car was hurt, seriously. We were sued and the depositions caused fear in Cora. She cried, but I told her to trust in the Lord.
You were right, Mitchell.
Remember? Mm-hmm. Court date came and we drove to the lawyer's office so he could tell us what to do.
And when we got there that morning, the secretary was so embarrassed. She forgot to let us know that the case had been settled out of court, in our favor.
He abided faithful.
It's our wedding anniversary. 40 years, Mitchell. What have we learned?
Babe, I've learned that it's not the money in my pocket that matters, nor even my pretty little wife, though I love her very much. What matters is the Lord who saved us.
Well, here we are, back home. What are all these cards? It's our kids.
Happy anniversary, Cora.
Our family.
I was religious, but lost. So my testimony is written in the lives of our children and grandchildren who are serving the Lord. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
What about you, listening friend? Are you walking in truth? Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you need help in making this crucial decision, let us know. We'll send you some literature to help you in this spiritual pursuit. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3207. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We'd love to know you listen, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Day or night, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.